The Baseball Bat, Chapter 12, Better Times. It was June 1st, 1968, the last game of the season. We played the Tigers, who had gone through the entire season undefeated on the strength of their twin pitchers. One twin would pitch the first three innings, and then the other would pitch the last three innings. Both threw the ball very hard. We never faced their other pitchers in the three games we played against the Tigers. The Tigers were up 5-3 in the bottom of the sixth inning. We had the top of the order up. Our leadoff hitter, Art, got hit by the pitch, and he said something we all assumed was in Korean as he trotted down to first base. Art stole second on the first pitch. Stan then hit a ground ball to the third baseman. The third baseman looked Art back to second and then tried to throw to first base. But the throw pulled the first baseman off the bag. Art hustled the third on the throw to first. Stan stole second on the first pitch, and we had the tying runs at second and third with nobody out. We were in a good position to at least tie the game. We had two strong hitters coming up. Our third hitter, Joe, had hit pretty well all year. He went up to the plate and swung at the first three pitches, but never connected and struck out. It was disappointing, but it was only one out. Will was up next. He was a strong hitter, too. I wished it were up to me there in that fourth spot in the order. Will had seen Joe strike out and took a more conservative approach by taking the first pitch. It was called a ball. He ended up walking on four pitches to load the bases. So, it was up to Paul with one out and the bases loaded. Paul took the first pitch, but it was called a strike. He then took three more pitches to get the count to two balls and two strikes. On the next pitch, he swung, but never came close to hitting the Twins' fastball and struck out. Now, it was up to me. With two outs and the bases loaded, this was my opportunity to realize a dream of getting a hit to tie or even win the game. I also thought about how bad it would be if I made the last out to lose the game. As I took the donut off my bat, I remembered Gramps telling me, if you get a chance to be a star, make sure you give it your best effort. But stay relaxed and focused. And if you don't come through, it's not the end of the world. I felt confident because I had been able to get a hit in a similar situation on Thursday. I stepped up to the batter's box and in my usual fashion was ready to hit the first pitch. I was not going to try and wait for a walk like some of the other players might have done. I'm sure many of the parents were hoping for a walk. I even heard the coach yell, "Make it be in there," so I guess they would have been happy for the walk too. I heard the Tigers coach say, "Get the batter. All we need is one more out." I dug in, ready to hit, but the first pitch was inside and I moved out of the way. "Ball one," roared the umpire. Lucky for me, this was a different umpire than I had on Tuesday. I could hear my coach say, "Good eye now." Probably most of our parents were hoping I would just walk and then there'd be a couple wild pitches to get the tying runs across. I dug in and was ready to swing hard if the pitch was near the plate. The next pitch was low and away, but not far off the plate. I swung and connected solidly, driving a line drive over the second baseman's head. I took off running as fast as I could. The first base coach told me to keep running, and I did, as fast as I could. As I rounded first, I saw the outfielder still chasing the ball into the higher grass. I rounded second base and could see a couple runs had already scored, so I just kept going. I never even looked at the third base coach as I approached third base. I never slowed down. I just kept running to home. As the ball was coming into the infield, the Tiger players knew they had already lost. But the pitcher fired the ball to home anyways. The throw was too late for the catcher to try and tag me. I didn't slide. I just kept running full speed across home plate. As I crossed the plate, the players and coaches were jumping up and down. Here was my chance. I could jump up and down like the rest of them if I wanted, but I didn't. It had already been an emotional week for me. I had just hit my first home run, but I took the attitude that this is how I should hit, and I can do even better. I celebrated in my mind, but was calm on the outside. I never saw Norm Cash or Bill Freehand jumping around, because for them it was just another home run of many. I wanted to show everyone that this is just normal for me as well. It felt like we had just won the World Series because we beat the undefeated team. I graciously accepted all the great hit comments from both teams and many of the parents, as well as my teammates, as they were jumping around. One parent even said to me, "Aren't you excited?" "I'm excited," I said. "I did my job." I guess the parents were expecting more from the emotional kid who called the umpire crazy. Those who know baseball understand that officially it was not a home run. Officially, the game was over when the winning run crossed the plate. The winning run was Will, and as soon as he scored, the game was over. If I hadn't touched third base when he touched home, an official scorer would have awarded me a double. However, most people in attendance didn't know the official scoring rules, so most thought it was a home run. When I got home, I entered my stats, and I certainly recorded the hit as a home run with four RBIs. I controlled my stats, and I decided I wanted to see a home run as part of my permanent statistics instead of a double. After the game, the coach treated us all to ice cream at the local Dairy Queen. There was only vanilla back then, but he did allow us to get our vanilla cones dipped in chocolate. My plate appearance was the last at bat of the season for the team. I made a lasting impression on everyone. No matter what happened throughout the season, I would be remembered for the grand slam home run to beat the undefeated Tigers. I had made a recovery from Thursday night incident, just like Gramps had told me. I couldn't help but think it was going to be the first home run of many to come. And I dreamed about the future. No, my life wasn't over after my outburst. I made a mistake, but life went on. My mother decided to let Saturday be my day, and she did the grocery shopping and laundry on Sunday. She told me we would be going to the Big Boy in Walled Lake for dinner that evening and asked if I would like to take a friend. Wow! I had never been to a dine-in restaurant with waitresses. This would really be special to me. I had only previously been to Arby's and McDonald's, neither of which had waitresses. I called Stan and worked out a time to pick him up to go to Big Boy. I'm sure Stan had dined at many restaurants in his life, but we were going to celebrate tonight. Not having to go on the weekly errands, I headed down to the lake. Gramps was down there trimming some trees. As I approached him, the first thing I said was, "Gramps, I think I recovered." Gramps smiled. Well, on Wednesday, I called the coach and addressed the team on Thursday. We ended up losing Thursday by one run. I was on base, and I could have been the tying run, but the next guy up struck out. Then we had to play the undefeated team again today. It was really tough. We trailed 5-3 with two outs and the bases loaded in the bottom of the sixth inning, and I was up. I said with a frown. Then I smiled, and my voice got louder. I hit a grand slam home run to win the game. Gramps said, "Oh, I'm so proud of you. That is great." "Thanks, Gramps," I said as I got more quiet and serious. "You helped me. It's baseball, so there was a chance I would have made the last out. I knew this as I walked up to the plate, so I just tried to stay relaxed and do my best and not get down if I wasn't successful. I think staying calm and not worrying really helped me to concentrate on the ball." I got a little louder and more excited. "It feels really great. It was an up and down season, but it ended on a high note. We finished 8-6, which seems a whole lot better than 7-7 we would have had if I would have made the last out." Gramps replied, "It's good to celebrate wins and grieve losses. Today we celebrate." Gramps, had put an old steel outdoor chair on, you might see it at one of those old gas stations, on the end of the dock. "Hey, Tom, I put the chair on the end of the dock so we could get a closer look at the girls in bikinis as they boat by," said Gramps with a smile. That night, my mother and I went to pick up Stan. We went to Big Boy. We didn't really want to tell Stan that it was my first time at a dine-in restaurant. I asked my mother not to tell him. We had fun, talked a lot about the game. Stan was excited about the game. We beat the Tigers. They were all set to celebrate their undefeated season, and we took it away from them. It was the game I will never forget. Since I had only pitched 3 innings this week, and Joe and Will had already pitched their 6 innings, I knew I had to pitch against the best team. And we were already down 5-1. I was so happy to pitch so well today and keep us in the game. "Stan, you pitched so well all year, but you pitched great today. You have hit so well all year too," I said, and for the first time I realized that the game today wasn't all about me. Stan was just as important, if not much more. Stan went on, "I wasn't happy about the way I hit the ball in the 6th inning, but I was happy to get on base, so we still had a chance. I felt Joe would drive home Art and me and tie the game, but he struck out, and Will walked, and Paul struck out. I looked and saw you coming up. You really looked confident. Weren't you nervous at all?" "I sure was nervous, but I tried to stay relaxed and focused on hitting the ball." "You really smacked it. As soon as I saw the ball hit the ground in the outfield, I raced home and then turned and cheered for Will to score. It was really exciting." Stan and I kept talking about the game throughout dinner. We had a lot of fun and laughed a lot while we were together. I think Stan thought I had finally emerged as a baseball player and was someone who could be a solid teammate of his in any sport. I also think Stan appreciated that I was academically smart, unlike most of his neighborhood friends. However, there was one secret I kept from Stan. I hadn't had him over to my house because he would know that I lived in one of the smallest houses in the area. When I got home, I entered my statistics for the final game. For my season, I hit .425 with 1 home run, 18 RBIs, 2 doubles, 7 runs scored, and 14 stolen bases. It was fun for me to keep these stats because probably everyone else in the league just kept the stats in their head. Any major leaguer who had these stats in 14 games would be elated. Sometimes I reflected on how I'd had all zeros the previous season. I did absolutely nothing. How did I have the 180-degree turnaround? I think it was just mainly through my determination to do well and all the time I spent with the pitchback net and hitting rocks. Maybe my overconfidence helped me in some way to play better than I actually was. Stan had close to double the numbers I did this year. But he had played much longer than I had. Could I be as good as Stan someday? My goal was to be the best, so someday I would like to match his numbers. I hope to play more seasons with my new friend. Could I do anything I set my mind to accomplish? This season had given me a lot of confidence. The day would always be special, but I hoped there would be a lot more special days to come.